Hi, hi, hi. Welcome to Salty Housewife. This is Rosanna Hicken. I'm your host. This is the podcast that tells you everything that's going on in the state of Utah, and we're recapping episode 10 of season 4 of Real Houses of Salt Lake City. Mormons Get a Bad Rap is the name of the episode, so I am excited. And today my guest is already been on the show before, and I am lucky to have her again. Amy Freeman, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, so excited.
I'm so happy to have you. We have been talking about this episode for a long time.
Yes.
And having you on it, and why it's so important to talk about it. Do you want to give a little like backstory?
Oh, sure. So,
whatever you feel comfortable.
I mean, this episode, I kind of laughed at the title because I felt like that wasn't a huge theme of the episode.
I agree. I actually feel like it was a little misleading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. And, but
maybe it was rap because of Lisa Barlow's rap.
Oh,
maybe that's
true.
What it was.
Mormon No Mo.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's where they got it from.
Yes. That's where they got it from. It literally just dawned on me. Mormons Get a Bad Rap, but we're talking because of Lisa's.
Her rap. At the, the book tour.
Yes. Signing.
Event. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I guess I kind of relate to the title a little bit, but yeah, I'm Rosanna's like former Mormon friend, but here's the thing, like
but not my only one in life.
No.
And that's not how you're defined. Yes.
No, and it's not. And you know, it's unlike how they're on the show, like it doesn't define my personality, which we've already talked a lot about how, sometimes frustrating that can be on the show. Yes. Is like, okay, Heather, like, we want to learn more about you.
Yeah.
But I can relate to her in a lot of ways just because I feel like our faith journeys kind of took a turn at around the same time. And, I was listening to Heather's, her like Mormon story, and it was, I mean, she was still a believing Mormon in 2020.
Okay,
the end of 2020.
I wasn't sure when it started.
But they had already filmed all of season one by that point. But she was still, she called herself like a non-practicing Mormon.
Okay.
You know? And, but it just reminded me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was pretty close to like my timeline. And so I just relate to her in the way of like how difficult it is and how it can consume your everyday.
Yeah.
And so I think in that way, I kind of want to defend her in some situations.
Yes.
Where I'm like, oh, I think, you know, she talks so much about it because it is so difficult.
Yes.
But we can also, I think I was also reminded looking at her timeline, oh my gosh, she is also a divorced mom.
Yeah.
She's a single mom, and that was soul crushing to her too. And that had happened 5 years prior.
Okay. So 2015.
The show. Pretty sure.
Okay.
And
did you know her ex-husband lives in the house that Abby lives in now?
No.
Okay. So guys, we have a bunco group. When I moved back from California to Utah, I called all my college girlfriends up, Amy being one of them. And I was like, please, I need some friends. And Doug was in MBA school. And so we started a bunco group, and we are still hanging out once a month.
Yes.
It's been almost 10 years. And our friend Abby is one of my best friends from college as well. And the house she lives in now is the one that Heather Gay's husband, they bought it from Heather Gay's ex-husband.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When they got divorced.
This
so
world.
She said like the
so
room,
small.
The rooms had like pictures of the girls in it when
wow.
they like went to look at it. And that's who.
I had no idea.
Yes. Yes. See? So it's been, and they bought that house. It's been a while. So
yeah.
It's been a bit.
So yeah. So I think that that's so traumatizing. So like that's very traumatizing, and she didn't want to get divorced.
Sad.
And so, and that was only 5 years prior. And anyway, it just like helped me understand her even more of like, oh man, she's just kind of been hammered.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know what else you want me to
say. No,
that's
good.
But it's
good.
Just this point of view,
and this
just
is
maybe
why
different.
I wanted to have you on it because you and I have had great conversations about this, about the Mormon aspect of the show from both sides, about
totally.
Talking about how important it is for Heather and her journey, But also I've told you how, like, as a practicing Mormon, how some of these like blanket statements that she makes can be so super hurtful.
Yes.
So it's so good. And this is why I wanted you on for this one, because I feel like, especially like her and Lisa at the end was like such a beautiful moment.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, this is how it should be with people who, like, friendship should still exist for people who are in and who aren't out. And for me growing up in Ohio, it was never like a thing.
No.
Because I grew up as the most, like, usually as the only Mormon in my school, if maybe one of three.
Right.
So, like, my friendships and, like, associations with people in life were never based on religion, because I did not have Mormon friends at my school. So it wasn't like I was shunned or I shunned anybody because they weren't Mormon, because, first of all, dumb. Second of all, I had no choice. My best friends have never been Mormon growing up. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think sometimes when I see it on the show, I'm like, being Mormon or not being Mormon should just not be a big deal,
right?
Because it's not a big deal in real life. Whereas I don't feel like Catholics don't talk to other Catholics because they leave the religion. You know what I mean? And so I feel like the only time I ever hear about like it really being a problem is like when you watch like Scientology shows, and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know. I feel like protective. I'm like, okay, no. We're not like hiding cameras in your mailbox to see who you're talking to when you leave the church. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's where I sometimes feel like protective, and I'm like, okay, this is good. Cause like Amy's on here. Let's talk about both sides. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Heather's book and just like how really you should be able to coexist peacefully, because it doesn't matter.
No.
Like what?
No. And I really loved to see Lisa and Heather kind of, I mean, I don't know. Should we get into
that? Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get
and
into
then
it.
We
yes.
Can bring
talk about it. Yes. Yes. Okay. The episode starts Heather getting ready for her. It's just like a little clips from everybody. Heather getting ready for her book reading party, or I guess this is the last one. She was like doing a tour, and then this is like the final stop.
Yeah.
In Salt Lake.
I think so.
We got Angie brushing
Celia.
Celia.
Amazing.
Not to be.
Hot pink ears and feet. And,
yes.
Oh, amazing.
Hot pink dog.
Yes.
And then we get to Lisa going to Whitney's house. Mm. And I'm just dying that she couldn't get into that gate, because I went to
the music.
I went to Whitney's house to pick up a basket for our Encircle event a couple years ago of like skincare. And I couldn't get into the gate either. I remember thinking to myself, hope Whitney doesn't have a camera, like a Ring doorbell, because I can't get through.
Like, please don't see me.
So dumb
looking.
Also, like where do you park in daybreak? Cause there's like no parking.
I honestly get claustrophobic going into daybreak.
It's like all these back roads.
I have some family that live there, and it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I get claustrophobic. It's beautiful though.
Yes.
It's a beautiful.
But the streets are narrow.
Yes.
And you're like, where am I parking? How do I get to your house? Okay. So Lisa goes to Whitney's house, and Whit, of course, is making a charcuterie board, because this is all the Salt Lake housewives do is charcuterie.
And you know, I brought a charcuterie board to our last
Friendsgiving.
Get together.
You
to
know
Friendsgiving.
What?
I sure did.
I love a charcuterie, so I'm okay with it. But I'm just laughing at, like, it's in every single episode.
Yep.
Okay, so while they're at the house, Heather FaceTimes or calls Lisa.
Yeah.
And she asks if Lisa can introduce her at the book party. And, which I love. Like, I love that this
and
is.
And that happening. Was unexpected.
Yes.
For me.
And I think you can tell from Whitney's face that she was like,
well, because
okay.
They have said they've never read her book, you know?
Yes, so like, that's true. They talk about, they're like, okay, so I guess
like,
now we need to read it.
Introduce the book?
Yes.
And you haven't read?
I don't even think Whitney went to the event, but I hope she read her book.
I don't know.
I didn't see her there. No.
Yeah.
And so Heather calls, asks Lisa, and then Whitney's like, okay, let's get into it. What the freak happened at my prison event? Which I would have felt the same way. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Pissed.
That was so, I wrote in my notes, like, she had a right to be upset.
Yes.
That was.
She said she was mortified, and I would have been too.
Yeah.
And she was like, you were screaming. And Lisa's like, what did I scream?
And she's already getting kind of worked up and defensive.
Mm-hmm. And you can clearly see when she was yelling, which she was heated, and she was yelling. So I'm laughing that she, like, doesn't remember that she was screaming.
No.
It was not Lisa's best look.
It wasn't.
And, but I'm dying at her, like, shady confessional. She's like, Whitney, don't talk to me about party etiquette. And it flashes back to Coach Shaw's party.
Yeah. From, back in season one.
Is that season one? Yeah. Yes. Where she's like getting in a fight with Jen at the party.
Well, that didn't even show the best part of that party.
Like, is it when she did the splits?
Yes. That's what I was expecting.
I thought they were going to show that too. Yeah. Oh, and Lisa's like, excuse me, don't even. And Lisa goes on to tell her that she's hurt by Angie hugging Monica and she just didn't want Angie to lie about it.
Right.
Which is really definitely a conversation she needs to have with Angie, yes. Which we know she does later. I don't think it's this episode. I think it's the next episode.
Yeah.
But it is this episode. And she's like going off and she's getting heated. And then Whitney's like, don't swear in my house.
Oh, this part. I was with Whitney until that part.
Yes.
When she's like, in my home, we do not use that language.
Well, it was the way
do you get it? Yeah. Does that make sense?
It was the way she said it. Because if it was something that was your girlfriend, you'd be like, oh my literally, gosh. If you were started screaming in my house F-words, which you never would, I'd be like, Amy.
Yeah.
Shh. Yeah. Like,
but you wouldn't be like...
It was so condescending.
It was, yes, exactly.
Yes. She said, don't swear in my house. My kids are going to upset. And Lisa says, understood. Understood. Like 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
And
Whitney just kept going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was so uncomfortable.
It was.
Because she doesn't stop. And I think it's like she's proving a point on the show.
That she's changed and that she's like becoming more emotionally mature.
She's
which
a
is
good
like,
mom.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Okay. But like.
She was trying to prove a point.
Yes. Yeah. After the fifth time Lisa says understood, maybe we just like stop. Understood. 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 It was, oh my gosh, it made me feel so uncomfortable. My skin was crawling.
Yeah.
And also then this part also makes me feel uncomfortable. Heather going to Mary's house. Here we go. Here we go into. Yeah.
Okay. Mary was so pleasant though. She greeted her very kindly.
She greeted her by not being able to open or shut her door. Did you notice that? She
no.
was like, Mary, girl, put some WD-40 on the door. She had the hardest time opening it.
I did not notice.
And shutting
it.
I
was just distracted by
the house.
Heather's, her tights.
Oh, I didn't see them.
They were so cute.
Oh, I didn't see them.
Yeah.
I was distracted
by for a split second.
Okay. Yeah. I was distracted by Mary because I thought it was the best she's ever looked.
And acted, I thought. Okay. Okay.
Well, acted until
for her.
Yes. And
very low bar.
This house is absolutely insane.
The house is insane. Green carpet.
Black Chanel pillows.
Oh yeah. Dr. Seuss chairs, the Tiffany blue kitchen.
Those roses that never die in the middle. Did you see those?
No.
You know how you can buy those like roses that never die and they're like
potpourri?
No. They're like in a box and they're like 24 long stem roses, but they don't die. I don't know how, but you buy them and they're supposed to like last for like months and I'm like, something's wrong here.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are in the middle. The Willy Wonka chairs.
Yeah.
It's.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about what Heather said in the confessional though?
Hey, what'd she say? Which
Where
part?
She said, Grandpa Joe gets out of bed for two reasons. Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and Mary Cosby's house.
Which are the same thing. Oh my gosh.
I thought that was gold. I was so laughing
funny.
Out loud.
It was so funny. And Mary like invites her over like they're going to like kind of like have a nice chat. But really she says, I just want to talk to you. Like to her about what you said about me in the book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, Mary. And
I mean, if Heather had said something, you know, outlandish.
It wasn't even bad.
But it wasn't even bad.
No, she reads to us what the excerpt is. And it's basically her just saying, and Heather says she erred on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. And that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Just that like, she was sometimes a little like eclectic and I don't even remember. I remember listening to it and being like,
yeah.
Okay.
That's Mary.
Yeah.
So why would you have a problem with it?
Yeah. She didn't call her a predator like Whitney apparently did and talk about sleeping with her grandpa. Mm-hmm. She just said that like.
Any critique that she would get from Mary, she would bow her head and you know, it was like, actually it was really clever and funny.
She just took it. Yes.
Yeah.
And Mary says it wasn't true. And Heather's like, well, you haven't said very nice things about me.
Yeah.
And she's like, what did I say? And she's like, well, you said I looked inbred. And she's like, do you think I look inbred? And Mary says.
Without even a breath. Like,
I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was just the meanest thing. And Heather's like, you're basically telling me I'm ugly. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And Mary's like, well, sorry if that hurt your feelings.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What do the kids say these days?
Oh.
I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? But she...
So rude.
She says that, and then the next breath, she's like, but I am proud of you. I'm like...
Right.
Okay, Mary.
Right.
it's just too much. And Heather, and Mary says that Heather just like kind of needs to find herself. She said,
Yeah.
She says that Heather wants both the church and the dark side.
I'm like, yes.
Okay, Mary.
Well, and I wanted to, you know, kind of comment on that. Like, I feel like that's just such a, I feel like that's a childish way of putting, you know, any kind of religion, it, you know, either it's this or this, where, mm-hmm. with no nuance, no other kind
middle,
no middle, nothing, no gray. No, and I just felt like, okay, this is, what's the word? I don't know. Just,
it's just,
I mean, it's immature.
Yeah.
It's an immature way of
thinking, you know, if you're not in a church, you're with the dark side.
Yeah.
That's literally, it's like, boop, boop, boop.
I'm like, hold on a second. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't, like, where is a dark side? Like, what does a dark side even mean?
But
you know?
Mary, that's the, yeah. I think Mary probably thinks about anybody who's not in a religion.
For sure.
Because for her, it's an important, such an important thing. When it's like,
and I get that. And I get that. Okay, it's just Mary. Immature. Yeah, like, emotionally immature.
But yeah. Everything about Mary is emotionally immature. Uh-huh. She is insane. I cannot wait for when she's at the reunion, whatever little tidbits we're going to get. She's absolutely insane.
Has she been to all the reunions?
She didn't remember. She didn't show
up. She didn't go to last one.
So she wasn't in season three because she didn't show up to season two reunion.
Okay.
And so they're like, okay, you can't be in season three. And then somehow she's in season four. Okay. Why is she here? Okay. So then we get to Meredith and Seth at their Park City rental doing their podcast with they're getting everything set up with their podcast producer, Antonio, and Seth comes in so that they can record their, relationship podcast, which have you listened to it?
No,
I listened to like 10 minutes mm-hmm. and I like,
how was that for you?
My ears,
did you learn a lot?
My ears were bleeding and I had to go. I was like, that's good. We're good. I got what I needed out of this. Mm-hmm. I just like, don't, this is just not who I'm taking relationship advice from.
Well, and I don't know that I can listen to only Meredith, like as a choice. I'm sorry, that sounds so rude, but her accent, there's
the
something
vocal
going,
fry. The vocal fry is
going
insane.
There. Oh, okay. Is that what it's
That's
called?
That's what it's called. So like that, like.
Oh, okay.
It's like an accent, but also it's the way, like the inflection in
her
voice.
I want to see like the shape of her mouth. Or I don't know. I'm so curious. How does she make those sounds? Anyway, I just don't know that I could listen to Hanging by a Thread.
And I don't really love Seth either. So I'm just like, ooh, I'm getting two people I don't love here that I'm just like, okay. I do think that like it was nice at this point. So they start talking about their wedding.
I did like what they shared though.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought it was, but
in
but
this
then
episode, yeah.
We find, okay. So Seth talks about, they didn't have a prenup, they have a postnup because about like 15 years into the marriage, they felt disconnected. And Meredith was like, I was afraid I was going to lose the kids. She was like, so I didn't. Nothing financial in the post-snap, just kid custody, because she thought she was going to come to Utah and then like lose her kids. Mm-hmm. And he says that he wasn't there emotionally for her at all during this time. He said he was just there to make money and then not do with any of the other parts. And he apologizes.
Yeah.
And it was very sweet.
It was sweet.
And then they realized it
and
wasn't
it seemed
recording.
Genuine.
Oh, so that's what I'm like. Was it genuine or did he think he was doing this for the show and his podcast? I hope it was genuine.
I don't know that we'll ever know, but I hope it was genuine too. I mean, because
I hope that wasn't the first time she's ever heard him
say
sorry.
And that really does put women in a very vulnerable situation where when you do marry and you have money, but you stay in your relationship even if it's hard because what are you? I don't know. I feel like society sometimes judges women for staying in hard relationships too. But it puts you in a very vulnerable position to have money, but it's not from you. It's from your spouse. And so, you know, I feel like, oh, it must have been pretty bad if she did a post-nup.
Yes. And like also wondering like if this, which is harder for me, not being able to like provide for my children if I get divorced and I've got to kind of start from the beginning because I've given up my career so that I can be a mom, or staying in a marriage where you're not appreciated or loved or
I
like know a lot of people going through divorces right now where that's kind of like do I stay with somebody who I don't think appreciates me or do I go knowing it's going to be
like
so
both
hard?
Suck.
Yes. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad. So I really hope that wasn't the first time that Seth told her sorry.
I said suck. I'm so sorry to all those who
my mom
are offended by the word suck.
My mom, she literally sent us a message in our group chat because she was listening to the podcast last week when Olivia and I were talking about how she doesn't like substitute swear words. And she was like, I was wondering why you were saying shiz. And then you and Olivia covered it. No substitute swears. I'm like, I am 35 years old. My mother is still sending me these messages.
Like, you shared that story with me and I just said it.
You can say it. You can say it. Don't worry. It's when my 11-year-old says
it. That won't add the explicit sign next to your podcast.
The E next to it. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of explicit, Monica. Here we go. Monica's mom.
Oh, Monica's Vovo.
Is that her name, Vovo?
That's what
they call her.
Yeah, because it's like Portuguese for grandma.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was figuring it was. Vovo. Okay, so Monica's at her house getting her daughter ready for like asking a prom or responding to a prom song or something.
Very cute. All of her kids are out in the living room. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Monica's mom shows up. And Monica's like, tell the girls to stay inside.
Yeah.
Which I was like.
Ooh. And lock the door.
Yes. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like that at all. And her mom comes and she brings back the car that she took from Monica. And she says, this is a peace offering.
I come bearing gifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? It's like, no, this is Monica's car. Ooh. Monica, stop buying cars in your mom's name.
And then her mom admitting, I'm just trying to get your attention.
I know.
Whoa.
She's a child. Her mom's a child.
Well, and that's very narcissistic because narcissists live in their own world. Mm-hmm.
And she is.
Yeah.
And she is.
And they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. And her mom's like, but I'll do therapy. And Monica's like, we've done therapy before and it never works out because my mom doesn't show up as herself.
Right.
And I'm like,
that's very real.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
She's not willing to change. You're going to show up as your very best self and they can perform.
Mm-hmm. And her mom says that. She said the cycle of dysfunction goes back generations, but we can stop it here. And I'm like, I think it might be a little too late to stop that.
Well, yeah. And it just made her mom, I just feel like, again, this was performative for the show to be like, see, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to go to therapy, but she's turning it down. Like, I feel like this was her being very performative. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And Monica's
just
not having
felt
it.
Gross.
Yes.
To it's me.
Their whole relationship makes me feel gross. Mm-hmm. It's, and I know.
Would you have done what Monica did?
Made her walk home?
Yeah.
Okay. I think she lives around the corner. She lives around the corner. Like, she doesn't live in another city. Okay. She literally said, I think, on the first episode that her mom lives 5 minutes away.
Okay.
So I think she lives.
So like a 10-minute walk, maybe? Okay.
I've probably been like, you can walk home. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
No.
Well, she asked if her daughter would give her a
ride. Because I feel like I would probably be worried that my mom would start saying stuff to my daughter in the car when I'm not with her. You know
100%.
What I mean? 100%. So I'm sure she's got like some
There's flex. No trust there.
No. Yeah. No. And it made me laugh when she walked
in her, like, in her jammies. In her pigtails. Which I also feel like that was kind of a show to like, how I'm innocent.
Yep.
Like, honestly. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It infantilized her a little bit.
Did you ever watch Real Housewives of New Jersey? Do you ever watch it?
No.
Okay. So Margaret on the show, she, in her first couple seasons, used to wear these little pigtails all the time. Mm-hmm. As she's talking about how her marriage started when they had an affair with her now husband and this whole messy. Oh. And I'm like, pigtails when you're trying to like justify your non-childish actions or your super immature actions is an interesting choice. And as soon as I saw her, I'm like, oh, she looks like Margaret Josephs. And then I was like, what a mess.
Similar.
What a mess. Okay, here we get to the highlight of the night, which is Heather's book signing. And Lisa comes to practice, which I didn't realize that that's what she was going to be doing to introduce. And she says to Heather, if you ever need to borrow a couch, I have like 100 couches.
Yeah. Oh, Lisa likes to put these little things. Like I was watching, I don't remember which episode. Oh, I think it was this episode still after the book event. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she even says like, oh, I've got new paintings coming. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're on their way. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are old. Like, oh, I have 100 couches if you need them, you know.
And just little moments she's fabulous.
Yeah, totally.
She's trying to make everybody aware. I'm just going to say this a million times. I love them as friends. This is the duo I didn't know that I needed.
Yeah.
Because I think that they work really well when they are
when they're
good.
Both their best selves.
Yes.
It's funny. So fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. Yeah. And they match each other's energy well. So obviously
and they can joke.
Yes. It makes them great foes because they are the same. But then when they're together, it's more fun.
Yeah.
So I'm loving it. The women start showing up. Angie says she hasn't gotten a call or text from Lisa since the event, which is...
And they usually talk 100 times a day. Yes. Is what she was saying.
She says she talks to Lisa more than her husband.
Yeah.
Problem.
It is.
Problem. And Monica arrives and she fills Meredith in on what happened with Lisa at the PRISM event. Yeah,
that's right.
And Meredith says, well, you were having a reaction instead of a response. Maybe next time you could have a response instead of a reaction. And Monica says, that sounds healthy, so I probably won't do it.
And I, you know, I was applauding Meredith. I'm like, hey,
I know.
That's it was very the best, sound advice.
It was the best thing Meredith has said this entire season.
Yeah.
Because she's being friends with Lisa
she's
again.
Actually saying something though.
Yes. Instead of just like deflecting.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah. I love that. But you know, we can hate on Monica for sure, but there's a lot to see, but yes. Like in that moment, you do have to love that. She's like, oh, that sounds healthy. I probably won't do it. Yeah. You know, yes.
Cause it's hard when you, is my oldest daughter. When someone pushes her against the wall, it's a reaction instead of a response because she gets like to a point where she just reacts and not physically pushes. Like, sorry. Like if girls at school are being mean, sorry. Did this sound like I was pushing her? No, sorry.
If you guys could see my face, my eyes are so big. Okay.
No. Yeah. When Danielle is backed against a wall at school or in a fight with a friend, she reacts because she gets to a point where she can no longer handle it. And so instead of having she reacts. She's 11.
Instead of a thoughtful response. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm always like, honey, just think about what you're saying before. But it's just, some people are just wired differently. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like for me, since I hate confrontation, and you too, we think about it, whereas some people are just like, bup, 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 yeah. And that's Monica. Yeah. And honestly, Meredith just,
well,
what's
and
Meredith?
Me when I'm exhausted and not my best self. Yeah. I mean, that's like my goal is to have more of a response than be reactive. Yeah. So like, I'm like listening. I'm like, okay Meredith. You're right, Meredith. Yeah. I need
to do
that.
Thank you for the one sound piece of advice this entire season, Meredith. Okay. So then, Lisa comes out to introduce Heather, and she starts singing Away in a Manger, which I was just crying.
Yeah. Everyone is looking up there and going, I mean, Monica was so rude.
She's giggling.
Oh my gosh.
Which made, kudos to Lisa for having the balls to do it. I could never.
No.
And I don't think she was embarrassed really.
No. Like she was rocking it.
No, she was like mad at Angie for giggling with Monica, but I don't think she was embarrassed really at all.
Because
we have heard her sing this song like in commercials. Like Lisa, she's fine. She's not upset. But Monica yells no when she's singing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, Monica. It's these little things that drive me nuts about Monica. It's just a lot of childish stuff where I'm just like, okay.
Well, those constant reactions, right?
And it feels like two sisters fighting.
As like 8 and 9 year olds.
Yes. As little children who can't stop from saying it to each other. Yeah. And so Lisa's like, well, we got to switch it up. So the choir comes out and starts singing. Is this where we saw Dre?
And you see Dre.
Yes, I see Dre for a second. So Dre's Amy's sister-in-law. And I saw her come out in their black choir things. And I was like, oh, yes.
Her coral robes.
Yes. And then Lisa starts rapping.
She sure does.
Her like intro for Heather. And my secondhand embarrassment was, like, I almost had to put my blanket over my face, even though Lisa's not embarrassed. But why am I for Lisa? I couldn't stop. My whole face was flushing.
No.
But maybe that's a me thing.
You gotta respect her, though.
Yeah. Oh, she just does it. No qualms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. She's like,
just
okay,
throws
sure.
herself and has never read the book. Like, she's just
still
like,
hasn't read
like, that's where I feel like, I think it is mutual. I think she also wants this friendship.
I agree.
Heather. She's like, oh, sure, I'll do it. Like, hesitation.
We knew that from the beginning when she got so triggered by Angie and Heather having their little sit down. She's like, Heather's never done that for me.
That's right.
A couple episodes ago. And it's like, because they just want to be friends with each other.
Yeah.
It's a mutual wanting to be friends with each other. So Heather reads a little excerpt from the book, and it actually made me cry a little bit. It was very sweet.
It was so
about
sweet.
A boy switching seats with them on the plane, and then when they landed, the boy took off his tag, and he was actually a missionary, but he wasn't allowed to wear them when he was in Amsterdam. And she was saying, like, you were the person I would want to talk to the most here.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand you then, and if you ever want to become like me now, I'm here to talk. I thought it was very sweet. I thought it was very sweet.
Yeah, it was really compassionate, and I just connect with that too, because it's, you know, it's still so near and dear to me, and I'm not comparing myself to her. I mean, she served a mission.
Yeah.
And I never did that. Yeah. So, but
it's still a way for her to connect with him, whether it like she believes in it anymore. It's still like, no, I know exactly what you're feeling. Cause she went to France.
Yeah.
So she's like a European missionary, which is a whole different
kind of
missionary. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like my husband went to, Mark too. Mark went to Brazil.
Yep. My husband went to Brazil.
And Doug went to Peru.
So, I mean, just lining up to get baptized.
Yeah. A lot of religion is just such a huge thing down there.
Yes.
And
they're all already Christian.
Mm-hmm. And they are looking a lot of the times for answers or things. Whereas in Europe, it's a different story.
Yeah.
It's harder.
It's harder to baptize.
Maybe a little more skeptical.
They're more skeptical. And I think a lot of it culturally too is like they have all their needs met and they're just not really looking as much. And so.
Yeah that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. My dad and my brother went to Italy and the number of like baptisms that Doug had in Peru versus my brother and my dad in Italy.
No comparison.
No comparison at all. Yeah. I think Doug, when he finished his mission, like they baptized like it was like right at the end and they had a bunch of people that wanted to get baptized and then they wanted to get married, but they couldn't go to the temple because the temple's very far away. So Doug paid after all these people got baptized, he paid for like 30 couples to get married and he rented out a bus so that he could drive them all to go get married. And then he threw a little party for them afterwards.
That is so sweet. And so
this is why they like all still comment on his like stuff on Facebook because he... Like it's a lot cheaper to do it in Peru. And so for him, it was like maybe $100, but it literally married like 30 different couples. And so it's important to them down there.
Cool.
And Europe, different story.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
I mean, even me living in Germany in high school, like it was, I can't even remember any of my like German friends that went to church. Like I think I was like the only, I had a couple friends that were Catholic, but, not the same.
Yeah.
It was different. It's different.
It just not, high demand.
Yeah. So Heather's religion. Like, I can relate. Yeah. I could probably wanted to chat and relate to it. I thought that was a very sweet moment.
For sure.
And Monica says she can relate to Heather because they had the missionaries over at their house a lot. And that was also very sweet.
Yeah.
She said she was grateful for the missionaries.
Yes.
Because I bet for some little point in life, it gave her a little bit of like.
Well, she never had like men in her home either. Mm-hmm.
Like good examples.
And she said they were like big brothers to her too.
Yes.
And I relate to that because I grew up in South Texas. So, and same thing. I mean, my dad, when he wasn't bishop, he was like mission leader. And so we always had missionaries come over. Yeah. And we even like, they even stayed at our house. There was a hurricane and they all came to our house.
Them? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they stayed at our house. Yeah. We had this big like sleepover and I think I was like 9, you know, and anyway, just so many good memories with the missionaries. Yeah.
And I'm sure their parents were so grateful that your parents did that during like a storm because it's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful having your kid. My little nephew's in the Philippines right now and there's supposed to be like a tsunami going to like Southern Philippines. And I know my sister-in-law's stressed. And I'm like,
that is not fun.
Nope. Anyway, so they have a very sweet moment, Heather and Lisa, and they chat. And Lisa was like, Heather, you're validated in all of your thoughts and feelings.
Yeah,
she's and sweet. I just thought it was a very like a big breakthrough for them.
It was.
And I loved it for them.
And who knows? And she probably read other excerpts of her book.
Yeah.
But I just loved what they decided to
pick.
Yeah. It was very compassionate. And
because we always say this, we feel like probably a lot of the reason why Heather talks about the church so much is probably because that's what the editors pick. Like
for sure.
The producers pick that.
It's a huge theme of the Salt Lake franchise.
Whereas there's so many other aspects that like we'd love to see about her, but she literally has no choice in editing. Mm-hmm. And they probably just pick every Mormon like sound bite that there is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay, it's probably not her like own doing. They're like, ask her something else. Ask her about Beulah Blazer. Ask her about her kids. Ask her about like a million other things. You know what I mean? So I love.
And I think that's coming. And I think as she heals and gets through this, you know, this harder time and this book, you know, was also, I mean, it's called Bad Mormon.
Right.
And so.
Right. So it's hard for it not to be the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, anyway. Absolutely. Okay. So then we have, a quick moment where Angie is telling Meredith, like, she's happy to see her, but she's telling her why she's hurt and that she didn't appreciate Meredith making threats. And she says, you said you could ruin my family. And Meredith says, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She's
She doesn't even like apologize.
No, she, I mean, she does, but
she's like, I said it, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a term I want to use, but it's an expletive. So.
Anyway. And we got to keep this not having the E on it.
I know.
She's just, Meredith like apologizes being in quotes. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, and I'm going to go.
She's like, so let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she like just.
I said sorry, so let's move on.
Yeah. And she just like takes her jacket and just like does this weird cold walk off.
I need to go. And then she hugged Monica.
Yeah.
But then she, yeah.
She's just too much. Past.
She's a diva.
Too much. It's too much. I can't. Meredith. And then it ends with Heather checking with her daughters to see if it's okay to write the second book, because they're the ones who have had to deal with like the death threats at school,
burritos being thrown on their car,
and bullying reports. And you were mentioning that too, like some serious stuff has happened.
Yeah, they've had to report some stuff, and and again, like they're new to their neighborhood and they don't go to church, and so. But I've also heard of people who have brought things to their house and welcomed them,
Kate's,
you know?
Kent's
and that's the thing. I think there's never just one way. There's been bullying, but the reaction to her book for so many people has been very positive.
Yes.
And so, and I love the girls' response. I thought it was really sweet and mature, but they said, I think if it's done from a place of healing and telling your story, then yeah, sure, go for it.
Yeah.
So
instead of trying to get back at them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was so like, mature and smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good for them. Those are good girls. They seem like they
love their mom.
Yes. And darling and sweet. And yeah, I thought that was great. And then the episode wraps with, we're at Lisa's house. She's setting up snacks. And by snacks, I mean whole muffins.
whole muffins.
And croissants,
From Kneaders. And those little sodas, the probiotic sodas.
The Olipop or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was crying because like Lisa's not making charcuterie. She's just grabbing muffins from Kneaders, which I mean, Kneaders is delicious. So I'm here for all the Kneaders bakery.
I love a girl who owns her fast food addiction and just store-bought everything.
She's like, I'm not making
because I relate to her. Like, yes. I'm not one to just sit and bake in my kitchen.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, girl, just grab those croissants from Kneaders. Yep. And I would be thrilled with that.
I would too.
It's just funny because these are the two like teeniest
smallest
people.
Lisa's, Angie's like, I'll have a croissant. I'm like, when's the last time you had a croissant? No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm sure she eats a ton, but the croissants were huge and the muffins were huge and I loved it all. I loved it all. Like Lisa just put them out just a whole muffin on the counter made me laugh so hard. Okay. This was also Lisa Barlow. I love you.
The optics.
Yes. She kept saying optics.
Second time in this episode.
I love you, Lisa Barlow, but this... I felt like Angie kept saying like, this is on me for feeling this way. It's like, no, Angie, you're allowed to say that this hurt you and it's not on you. It's Lisa who made you feel this way. Mm-hmm. Like Angie said, she had to sit down with Monica, but she was afraid to like tell Lisa about it because Lisa got so upset when she told her about her sitting down with Heather.
So I you can just tell too that just Lisa from the very beginning of this scene, I feel like she's already
defensive.
Very upset.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to, I completely agree with Angie, like for not maybe taking, you know, for not maybe standing up for herself more because she is kind of like Lisa she can be a fireball, man.
Yes. And you know that like friendships where you are nervous.
Yeah.
I'm
to
not
like
saying,
speak.
Yes. I'm not saying that they're not real friends
because
I think they probably are. I just feel I could relate so much to Angie because like being nervous to tell a friend about something, this is like what I had with a friendship that is no longer a friendship because I was like constantly on edge about certain things.
You're tippy-toeing around everything and that's like, not a friendship.
No, it's not. And it's like, I shouldn't have to be nervous to tell you that I hung out with this person or I'm friends with this person when like I'm worrying about your reaction has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Like
so
Angie
that's why
and Monica.
I'm curious
with
like how this friendship like, I don't know if it's...
I think it does last, though. The only thing that makes me think it lasts is because at the beginning of the season, Angie was on Watch What Happens Live, like after episode one or two, and Andy's asking her, like, you know that game? Do you ever watch What Happens Live?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So when he has, like, the faces on the bottom, it's like, who are you? Who was the messiest of season. Right. Like Whitney's head pops up. Mm-hmm. He says, who are you the closest with? And Lisa's head still pops up.
Okay.
And that was like after the season had wrapped. Right. So I'm sure they figure it out. Yeah. I just don't want Angie to always be like,
be scared of her.
Yes. Like Angie, stick up for yourself. Like, I'm sorry that you were hurt by it, but I don't have to feel bad for wanting to have peace with Monica.
No.
Or peace with Heather.
Right.
No. And like, you're allowed to do that. Like, that's what Meredith's doing right now. Mm-hmm. Meredith's got peace with Lisa mm-hmm. and peace with Monica. Like, you're allowed, this is a show. You all have to be together.
Well, and like, if you think back to the last episode that I was talking to you about, episode 4 mm-hmm. at Palm Springs, like, I mean, Angie was really like dominant, right? Like just coming, even though she wasn't invited.
It's two different housewives.
She is so different. She's toned down.
But it's also, is it because she cares? Okay, so this is what I'm thinking. Because like, I feel like I relate to Angie so much because with my friends, I always want to make sure that they feel comfortable.
Peace.
Somebody I don't care about, I'm like, who cares?
For sure.
Are you?
No, so she does care about all these women.
Like her and Meredith were never friends. So it's not like she's trying to keep the peace.
That's
like, it's just some random girl that she's starting to film with now. Whereas like her and Lisa are like besties.
Yeah.
So sometimes she's taking acceptance for things that like weren't her fault. Mm-hmm. And Angie said, that's on me. And I said, girl, no, it's not.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote in my notes. No, it's not. And Lisa's defensive the whole time. She says, Angie's not being, she's being insecure and not honest. And I'm like, I think it's just, there's more. There's more to that. But And that was it. And then the next episode, we get the Pioneer Party. And we also get Sean and Angie's awkward first date that they've had in 2 years.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And then we get Justin and Whitney on Meredith's podcast. And I'm just like, but mostly that Pioneer Party was the best part.
We're pretty much like caught up after that.
We're almost there. I know, guys, I am hustling to get there. I just asked Amy if she's watched Beverly Hills. She hasn't. So I will talk next episode about Beverly Hills with my sister because I think she's caught up. Ari's coming for episode 11. Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills, you have to watch it. I know you're watching Atlanta right now, which means what season of Atlanta are you on?
Oh, gosh, only 5.
Oh, but 5's good. Like the middle Atlanta seasons are so good. Is Portia there yet?
Oh, yeah.
And Kenya?
Yeah.
Are they still hating each other?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
It's so, and like it's prime Nene. Like in prime.
It is.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
She's like made some money because she was like acting and she was on, I think she was on The Apprentice or something.
She was.
And she, like, there's no one better than like those middle seasons Nene.
Okay. Okay.
She's so good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm loving it. Yeah. Like that's why I haven't caught up with Potomac or New York or Beverly Hills because I'm just in the middle. And I was telling Rosanna, I'm like, I need another pandemic to catch up on my Real Housewives because she got me hooked on Real Housewives of New York.
It's my greatest joy is converting my friends over to Housewives.
When we were stuck at home all the time.
Okay, but like also please, no pandemic. I'm knocking on wood right
now. No, no, no.
Like,
I mean, we just need
joking. All your kids to be in school and you'd have no responsibilities, no chores, no people to feed, no dog to walk, no exercise to do. And I say once a month, you just have one day where you're just like,
I'm leaving. Doing anything. I'm going to a hotel and I'm watching Real Housewives. Yes. Thank you.
That sounds delightful. Amy, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And guys, thank you for following along. Again, you can follow me on Instagram at Salty Housewife or on my personal Instagram, Rosie in Real Life. I appreciate you guys sending it to your friends. I've gotten the nicest messages and I will see you guys next time. Bye.